This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Though we have a clip, you want to set it up for us?
I'd like to, but I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, we'll just roll it.
And now, the whole show's clip of the day.
Did you just Cam Newton back there? That was pretty damn smooth, Mike.
I think that's, well, I don't know what that's
his
called.
His little thing, the thing that goes over his face and he puts his hand up. Yeah, that was good. That was sharp.
He also did like the Superman thing.
Well, that was Superman.
Pull
yeah.
my Superman.
Superman was cool, yeah. All right, so let's hear from Jared Bednar, clip of the day. I mean, I wanted to hear this, you know, talking about the struggles of this series. Here is, at least now, the head coach of the Colorado Avalanche.
You know, I'll look at this and we'll see how it goes. But this, we run into a buzzsaw in Vegas. I think they deserve the credit, and it's not a knock on our guys and how hard we played. But they're a well-oiled machine right now, peaking at the right time. And I look at their series and man-to-man, they're playing at the top of their game, and it's a very, very good team that we lost to, and we'll have to regroup and reassess and reflect on our season and our series and go from there.
All right. Would you have liked a little more scorched earth from Jared Bednar there? Would you have liked a little more pissed off? Like, hey, yeah, well, not to take anything away from our guys, but they were really good.
I would like to see scorched earth after game two. I don't know if he's relying on someone else to scorched earth and he's just being kind Canadian, but
I
need to see some yelling.
You know, we talked about this during the Nuggets-Timberwolves series, Mike, when we heard Chris Finch. Remember what Chris Finch said after game one, after the Nuggets beat the Timberwolves? Hey, I asked our guys if something would change in the playoffs, and they promised me that it would, and it didn't, so we got on their ass. Would we have liked, do we want a little bit more of that? We said it the same thing about Adelman. Adelman and Jared Bednar, both really talented guys, really, really good guys.
They're very even keel.
Very good.
John Keeler.
Yes. Big Hub says, I'm glad he didn't sound like the Cavs. Yeah, that was our clip of the day yesterday. James Harden, yeah, we think we're the better team. Not only did you get swept, you got blown out.
Yeah, exactly how are you the better team?
I'm glad that Bednar didn't say we were the better team. We lost. I wouldn't have minded something like, you know, we felt like we were the better team going into that series. We got to take a long, hard look at ourselves in the mirror because we weren't. We were not that team.
Yeah, well, in this case, they are the better team. Are they the better, they're the better athletes? Are they the better group of players who can fight off adversity?
They didn't have the better plan. They didn't have any of that stuff, Mike. And it's rough.
They had no urgency.
No urgency.
In last night's game.
No. I thought there would be. I know all of you guys here at the station, other than me and Brian. I think Brian was just hoping and praying because he wanted more Avalanche. I trusted this team to not go down like that. I didn't think this was a Denver Broncos, John Fox-led team that lost to the Colts and Elway was pissed. I didn't think that was this team. Turns out it kind of was.
It was, and I expected it kind of to be like that, but just not so bad. I mean, no shots in 25, 26 minutes. I think it was by the 26, around the 26th minute mark that they finally had a shot on goal. And granted, there were a bunch of blocks, but Vegas is always blocking shots. And there's no – take more shots. I mean, Cale Makar had a chance to, in the first period, to hit the net. Instead, he passed it off, and guess what? Stick interception.
They missed a lot of opportunities. There were a lot of really, you know, hold your breath moments. Here we go. Here comes the pass. Oh, it's behind him. There was just a lot of that. And that's credit again to Las Vegas for putting the pressure on the Avs. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Okay, Michael, I want to get more into this. The Protect College Sports Act. So here's some more details on it. Go Pokes is all over this. He's sending me story after story. But the Protect College Sports Act. Here's some if this can go through. Theoretically, this could fix all of the problems. But the argument is also going to be, is this government overreach?
And is it in the implementation of it? I mean, the Supreme Court right now, they're ruling on a lot of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And the NCAA is losing.
Yeah. The NCAA is losing all the time. But if they've said it from day one, if we can get some help from Congress, we could fix things. Like, there shouldn't be anything wrong with a one-time transfer. And if you transfer again, you got to sit out a year. You got to risk that. But I can also make the same case for, well, if you, there can be, dude, how many guys are on a football team? 100 plus? You mean to tell me of 100 plus dudes, there's not a few of them on there. They already transferred, but there's a bad situation going on and they can justify wanting to get out. Now, there would be protections, like if the coach that you signed up to go play for gets fired, that would give you another automatic transfer. But some people are thinking that the Lane Kiffin rule is government overreach, Mike. Basically telling a team they can't poach your coach during season. That's been going on in college football, well, college sports, for as long as we can remember, right? Is that too much? Telling LSU they can't talk to Lane Kiffin until Ole Miss completes their season. Or until the season is over. Until the national championship game hits zeros. Because they're saying until the season is over. Go Pokes, what were the ones you said? Some of them are interesting. 11, makes TV money work for college sports with an option for schools to pool media rights. Stop Super League. Oh, I can't read the bottom part of this. It did not load all the way. Oh, consolidation. There we go. Stop Super League consolidation. That would be interesting.
The Hill has an article on it.
There's a bunch here. This is Ross Dillinger's, the one I'm looking at now, from Yahoo Sports. Enables administrators to enforce policies related to movement by permitting only one transfer before a player must miss a season of eligibility. A second or more transfers are permitted under certain conditions, such as a head coach leaving or the elimination of an athlete's sport. Establishes a five-year eligibility length for college athletes and prohibits professional athletes, even those having competed internationally, from participating in college sports if they earned compensation in their pro careers beyond prize money. So like a Nikola Jokic couldn't have decided, hey, I got drafted by the Nuggets, but I'm going to get drafted, but instead I would like to go play college sports for a year. Well, he already played professionally. He was already receiving money, so he couldn't then turn into a college player.
Yeah, I have no problem with that.
I don't either.
If you played professionally, you're no longer playing in college. But if you get drafted and you don't play professionally, you decide to stay in college. I don't care for the declare for the draft thing. Like, if you're not drafted or if you're not drafted high enough, you should be able to go back and play sports in college.
If you haven't yet earned at that
level. If you haven't signed that contract and gotten that bonus money.
It would also protect student athletes' rights to earn from their own NIL. So they would keep that going. I still think that's fine, Mike. I still think you should be able to earn NIL. I just don't think it should be used as a carrot to get you here. That's my
big
difference.
Problem.
That's the problem. That's what's
UNC
happening.
UNC doesn't have that big carrot.
Mike, Do you know how many players I know of that have been already told before they enter the portal there's this much money waiting for them? Local guys. So you can only imagine what it's like nationally. That should be so strict. They shouldn't be able to know there's a bag of cash outside of salary cap. To be honest, even while they're playing, they shouldn't be knowing that. They should know once they enter the portal inside the salary cap what kind of money is available to them. But outside of the salary cap, if you've already exceeded your salary cap, there should be no money leading you to the school. This should be, hey, Bob, we want you to come play here. We've already used all of our salary cap. We want you. There's great NIL opportunities here, and I'll put you in touch with Jerry, I don't know, Bob, and they'll help you work on some endorsement deals. But I can't give you a number. I can't give you $1 million. You might get a dollar. You might get a million. But I can't promise you that. But that's the problem, is there's too much of that going on. I don't know how you stop that. It's already kind of against the rules. I don't know how you stop that. What's to stop me from calling up any school that I have contacts with and learning that they have an available roster spot and contacting players that I know and saying, hey, I guarantee you the car dealership is going to pay you $400,000 to go there. What's to stop me from doing that? You know what I mean?
And there's no guarantee that this is going to pass. They need 60 votes.
Yeah.
And it's going to be, the vote is going to be in a few months, yep. And there's probably going to be a lot of things paperclipped to
there, it. The fact that you have both Republicans and Democrats agreeing on this bodes well for them, but I still don't know if it'll pass. Because there's There's a lot of stuff to get through. 17 minutes after the hour, let's talk more. What does Sean Keeler think? Is it time to move on from Jared Bednar? Keeling Me Softly, coming up next.
The Greeley Stampede is almost here. And KFKA has you covered. Here's stories, rodeo coverage, and winsome tickets on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Ed Werder, NFL reporter for ESPN and a 1982 graduate of the University of Northern Colorado. Hope you'll continue to listen to the award-winning Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Oh, man, we've been feeling, I feel like we've been getting keeled softly all day, just trying to recover from what we witnessed last night, what we witnessed in this series against Las Vegas. Sean Keeler of the Denver Post writes, Avalanche playoff collapse shows Colorado is too comfortable under Joe Sakic, Jared Bednar. Sean, is it time for some kind of a change? I'm guessing you're going to say yes.
I am guessing yes, and good afternoon to you in spite of what's not been a really good 8 days.
It's been a miserable 8 days, man.
It went fast, didn't it?
Yep, like, it sure did.
It either was the fastest or the slowest 6 days of your life. As I was writing this last night in the column that we're talking about, you can see at DenverPost.com, boys and girls. I was thinking, game one was Wednesday, and it's Tuesday night, and what happened? It was like a bad bender. It was like going to Vegas for 36 hours, and you don't remember what happened. But you do, and it stinks. It's not good. And I wish there was an easy answer, because the easiest answer, I've written it. I wrote it last year. Other columnists have written it. My esteemed colleague Troy Rank wrote it this morning, late last night. Your first inclination is always fire Jared Bednar. I kind of have a running joke that we have a fire Jared Bednar. Everyone's written a fire Jared Bednar, hire David Carl column by now. I've done my one. You can look it up. I did it a year ago at this time. Did pretty good numbers. I think people kind of agreed. And then they had one of their best regular seasons ever, and that kind of went away. But the problem is still there. It still stands. And that was the point of today's piece, and that is they just keep tweaking when nothing's getting better. And again, the case in point is their opponent. The Vegas changed coaches with, what, 9 games to go, 8 games to go in the regular season?
Yep.
And suddenly everybody stood to attention, kind of in the way that the Nuggets did a year ago. And the Avs keep doing the same thing pretty much every spring, and from last five years has led to the same results. And I know the counter-arguments, no Val, but first their injuries, no Val, no Gabe for 3 of those years. Yep, yep, terrible fortune, and in the case of Val Demons, he had to get figured out. Great, I mean, it's unfortunate, but he works through that. Well, yeah, okay, injuries this year. Nate in the knee, 2 games without Kale. Kale's clearly played hurt and played through a lot of stuff. But, I mean, Dallas played about 2 of their best players last year in the first round and got to the conference finals, too. So everyone's playing hurt.
Yeah, everybody deals with it at some point, right?
It's like, you know, it's like navels. Everybody's got one. And what are you going to do with what you've been dealt? They've been dealt some bad hands. Jared Bednar is a good coach. Is he the best coach in this franchise history? He is by wins. He is by tenure. He is by consistency. Is he by rings? I don't know. I think everybody has one of the three that have one. And I don't know if there's a second one in him. I don't know if there's a second one in him with this configuration. And I think that's sad. It's probably not as sad as the Joker thing, but I think we talked about this a couple months ago, what would be a bigger disappointment now that we've had, gosh, 2 of them back-to-back now between the Avs and the Nuggets. The Joker being a singular generational talent is disappointing on its face, and the inability in that sport to kind of keep people around him. But you've got 2 Hall of Famers right now, and you traded a third in Nico Rantanen to try to make this work, and you've got, in 8 years, you have 2 conference finals and 1 cup. It's good. It's not great. And it certainly should put everyone under scrutiny for what they want to do, but I'm not sure they will. You know, we're all saying get out the knives, and we're all being reactionary, and I think they're having a presser tomorrow, last I heard, with Joe Sakic and Chris McFarland, and I don't know. I don't know if they're going to be as reactionary as all of us have been.
I have a feeling they're not going to be. And here's the thing, Sean. Like I feel like I'm copping out here because I'm like in the middle. I totally get it. You know, firing Jared Bednar, it makes sense. Then there's this part of me that is trying to play the dangerous game of everything that you just highlighted. Of all the excuses. And I realize that's a dangerous thing too, because you just said it. The Stars dealt with it. The Golden Knights fired their coach, like you said, late into the season, and it worked.
Didn't have Mark Stone for game 1 and 2 either.
Yeah.
Like the Avs didn't have Kale. No, and I think being in the middle is okay with this too, because it is hard. You are not a weak person, whether you're Brady, certainly not Brady. Or an Avs fan, if you are on the fence today going, when you take a deep breath after the disappointment, which you should have, and the sadness, which you should have, and to some degree the anger, which you should have, the frustration, to take a deep breath this morning and go, well, now what? Because if you fire Jared Bednar, the first question you have to always ask, because, again, we've all written it and we've all thought about it, is who are you going to get that's better, like, right now? Like, John Tortorella was sitting there 2 months ago. For reasons, and he may be sitting there in 13 months for reasons, the way that Pete DeBoer always seems to be sitting there for 13 months, and that Jared hasn't. Jared is Jared. This is a very, very steady ship. I likened it to George Karl, not a perfect analogy, because people say George Karl didn't win a title and was constantly getting knocked out. That's true, but I think there's a constant in that it's a safe 50 to 55 win kind of team. The organization is in a good, steady place. It is not at a championship winning place. And that gap it's small, and it can be fluky, and it can be little things. And I think they will defend, and rightfully so, what they did this season, that being Joe and C-Mac. But what are we doing this for? Do you want the Avs to be a 55 win team every year, or do you want one more cup with this core? And I think they're going to sell the former and downplay the factors that have kept him from the ladder, if that makes sense. Like, I think you can have both, but the fact that you've had the former for so long, I think, and that gets to the point of the column, is it just feels like the Kroenkes and KSE, and to some degree Joe, are content. They look at this and say, you know, we're good, and we're good every year. We're going to be good every year we have Cale Makar. Yeah, that's probably true, because he's Cale Makar. And that's good enough. I think what the Avs have to ask themselves, well, here's what should have been the headline, Sean. What the Avs have to ask themselves, and are asking themselves, I hope, is this plateau of very good enough? I would contend it isn't, but I can see why they would say it is. And that's why you're right to be on the fence, if that makes sense.
Yeah, well, in the George Karl comparison, I actually kind of like, too, because look at those George Karl. Other than the year they went to the Western Conference Finals and they lost to the Lakers, that was a very good team. But I didn't really look at those George Karl. Yes, they had Carmelo Anthony. Yes, Kenyon Martin was very good. But they had Carmelo Anthony. Did they have a Cale Makar? You know, was that supporting cast that amazing where every year we were like, yeah, the Nuggets are probably going to win a title? No, I think we thought maybe this is the year they get past the first round, you know? Yeah. But with Jared Bednar and these Avs, it's like, every year, we're like, they're a true contender, especially this year. They're the contender. And that's why I like the comparison, because if George Karl had a stacked roster, then we would have probably expected more. He probably would have got bounced sooner. I think a lot of what he did with the pieces left over from the Melo trade is probably what kept him around for a few more years.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what's funny? We joked about splitting the goalie refs a week ago. You know, when we still had hopes and laughs. Game one. It'll
those
be
were fun. Those were good old times, Sean.
Those were the days, my friend. It was only 6 days ago. It feels like longer. We said, oh, they should play Wedgewood at home and Blackwood on the road. Would that have helped in game three? I don't know. That's a lot of hindsight, Eve. Oh, sure, you yanked Wedgewood. So I can go, well, yeah, maybe, but were you scoring? The problem this whole series with Vegas was, were you ever gonna score on Hart at some point? I mean, let's just be real about what that was. That the offense just died, and a lot of the forwards and a lot of the middle six forwards were non-factors. Nick Law was a non-factor. Val got hurt before being and was a non-factor. How has anyone seen Arturi Lehkonen?
Right.
And these are good players, and these are players that. And the point is, in that case, these are players in that middle six that really, in some of the top six, in Lehkonen's case, that really helped you get over those first two rounds, because it does take all four lines. It does take that entire roster. And that just stopped in the middle six. And Nate stopped. Gabe got a tip late, and they had moments, and it kind of came and went. Naz had a moment game three. I think game three is going to take a lot out of people. I think it took pretty much turned the series was turned to 1-2, obviously, because you can't lose two games at home to start it. But after that first period, I'm like, oh, game six, here we go. They're back. And the way that thing turned in the second period of game three is, I think, should haunt people of where that literally was a fulcrum of, no, this is done and this is ending. But the thing with Bednar, and let's remember this again, it's back to the argument they're going to get made in his defense and the argument they're going to get made for a change. The fundamental problem is this with the Colorado Avalanche. With the Jared Bednar Avalanche, everyone knows how to beat them in the postseason. Like, what you could do, the Kings knew. The Wild knew. The Wild were beat up themselves and couldn't execute it. The Kings just couldn't. The Kings were not in that weight class and couldn't execute it. But they tried. A neutral zone, they 1-1-3-4 check, they with left wing lock, they had it all figured out. They grabbed the Pete DeBoer playbook and said, we're going to do this. And then Vegas just did the same thing. And then fundamentally, that's where, you know, you have your job review and you have to say to Jared, Dallas and Vegas, it's not necessarily the names on the front of the jerseys or the back. It's that this is a system that once anybody has at least enough depth to match you, it can stop the breakouts, it can stop your speed. Again, it stuns me that they looked slow and old and tired. Your system isn't working in this in this arena, in this playoff, you know, win or go home. So do you swap out, we swap out goalies home and away? Could they swap out coaches for the playoffs? And maybe that would be better somehow. I joke when I say that, but I think that's fundamental. It's a problem. It's not a culture. It's not necessarily a franchise altering problem, but it is a championship altering problem, because I think the book is out on these guys, and the book is out at Jared Bednar in the playoffs, and everybody kind of knows it. And that means you've got a shelf life. And I wonder if it's expired, because this is a really, really old team. And that would worry me if I were Sakic and McFarland too, because similar to the Nuggets, you don't have a lot of cap room. You don't have a lot of wiggle room. You don't have a lot of assets, and you don't have a lot of flexibility to remake on the fly other than what you've already done in the Mikko trade a year ago. Was their attempt to really remake this on the fly, the way that the Nuggets just did with the MPJ trade. It didn't work. It worked a little better here than it did on the basketball side, but you still ended up around better and still away from what should have been a title-winning team. Eric Johnson was on the Spin Chicklets podcast the other day, and he said, they've played the change of core piece card. I don't know, other than changing the coach, what cards you play next.
And
he's right. You're running out of cards to play.
And that's, again, Sean, like where I lean on the, okay, it might make sense to move on from Bednar, because what else do you do? I mean, are we really talking about this roster? A week ago, we were like, wow, Chris McFarland, what he did before the trade deadline 2 years ago to ultimately set this team up for so much success now. That can't change in a week, I suppose. Something probably needs to change, though. And you get down to it, and it almost has to be Bednar just for the sake of doing something.
Yeah, I think that's the only play you have left. And as people have also pointed out rightly, this is a good coach that he might get a job instantly, and probably would. Like, he would instantly be the guy that any team would love to have, because stability, high floor. George Karl. Well, that's not again, different personalities, but good coaches. Is it going to help you? So one of my colleagues floated to me, maybe Tampa and the Avs should just do a trade one for one, Cooper and Bednar. And I laugh, but you know, because they've hit a wall. Like, they've had a good run, and ironically, they played each other 5 years ago for the title. 4 years ago for the title. And you know, that's not the craziest thing I've heard. We're throwing out all kinds of crazy scenarios. But, you know, in a way, if you could swing that, maybe both those gentlemen would be better served for trying a different project. Because I think in both cases, they've hit the wall where they're at. And they both would be the first guy you would hire, one not the other, if they were there on the open market, because they're good enough to be coaches in this league.
That's so interesting.
It is something. I think the other thing with McFarland and whatever Sack could go over, and this is where it's really hard to some degree. Not only did you have at age 31 on average the oldest roster in hockey this last year, at least the NHL, $67 million of your $97 million in contracts for 26-27 are tied up in guys who are 31 years or older. And there's a bunch that are 34 and older. And that's the core. That's just time. But I don't know who's going to want to take those contracts the way that someone was willing to take a chance on Mikko, because he was still a Hall of Famer in his prime, and still has that prime, albeit a very expensive one. It's tough. You know, that's why those guys make the big bucks. I don't envy them in that regard, because unless you're doing something wacky and trading for John Cooper, I don't know, or just openly swapping Bednar for Cooper, which I'm not sure either man would appreciate, and yet it's kind of meant as a compliment to both. I don't know. I think you have to look at something drastic, because all your options are bad.
So I'll be curious to hear this press conference. Hopefully, you said tomorrow, Sean. That's the plan.
Allegedly.
Okay.
Yeah. It's either tomorrow or Friday.
Yeah.
We're hearing it's tomorrow.
All right.
Is pretty quick.
Yeah.
Which
really
might tell me something big is happening.
Oh, boy. Well.
So, as you know, the sooner. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we'll be all ears for that one, my friend. Great. Hey, either way, like I said, I'm kind of on the fence, but what you wrote makes perfect sense, as it typically does, available at DenverPost.com. Sean, always appreciate your time, my friend.
Thanks, Cooper. Thank you, sir. Be well.
All right, you too. 39 minutes after the hour. Michael, let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
There's only one feeling, like lighting that open sign for the first time. Like deciding whether or not to frame that first dollar. Like knowing every customer by name when they walk through the door. Whether you're starting from scratch or from a century of tradition, every business deserves a bank that's been growing communities for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hi, this is Jesse Kurtz, executive producer and lead anchor of the Mountain West Network, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Tomorrow on the show, Michael, it's going to be fun. Jerry Schimmel's going to be joining us. He's going to be on the station all day tomorrow. Well, 11 or 6 a.m. to 2 p.m. He's got something awesome that he's doing, and we'll be talking more in detail about that.
Tomorrow, raising some money. 6 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Yeah. Yeah. He'll be taking over. He'll be like, I'll be here hosting the show, but of course, just we're teaming up with Jerry Schimmel. He is doing
He'll just class up the place.
He will. Absolutely. Yeah. He's doing the Race Across the West in June. It's an 860 cycling race from Oceanside, California to Durango, Colorado. The race benefits Best Day Ministries, a nonprofit serving the special needs community of northern Colorado. If you give $1 per mile donation, which would ultimately be $860, you'll receive a signed Charlie Blackman jersey. So that's pretty cool, man. That's pretty cool. They got a target goal. They want to reach $20,000. And they want to get this thing cooking, man. So we're excited to donate teambestday.com.
What if like 1,000 people donate that?
That would
does Charlie Blackman have to sign 1,000 jerseys?
Probably so, Michael. Yeah. Yeah. That's cool that Jerry and Charlie Blackman like have like Charlie's, you know, donating to the cause. That's really awesome.
Charlie's also donating to my causes as well.
What is your cause?
Buy Micah some pizza.
Why are you taking something that's so special, and this is a very unique thing that Jerry's doing, and it's really cool, and then you turn it into something goofy?
Like, because you gotta drop something goofy. He's athletic and I'm not.
Yeah, you couldn't ride a bike. Could you ride a bicycle for a mile?
No.
No.
If it's downhill.
Well, you just lose control and fall off of that.
I mean,
thing.
I would technically be riding the bicycle. I just, you know, would not be pedaling. The knees don't work.
You should scoot along with Jerry, maybe. He could carry a little portable charger.
Yeah, for a couple miles before I ran out of battery.
He could carry a little portable charger thing and hook you up. You'd be like a little side cart.
Well, there are solar chargers out there. I just don't know how long it would take.
Yeah, Jerry would love that.
And then
that.
A cloudy day.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. So Jerry will be joining us tomorrow. I'm looking forward to that. He'll be on with Good Morning NOCO. He'll be on with Coach Speak. We're big fans of Jerry Schimmel, have been for quite some time. So glad
he's
we kept
person.
That relationship going with the station. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. I will be picking his brain. We'll be talking about this Protect College Sports Act, too. I'm curious to get his thoughts there. Jerry, of course, was a broadcaster for the Nuggets, broadcaster for the Rockies, and you know, still broadcasting for the UNC Bears on ESPN+.
I think he did CSU, too.
He did CSU a couple of times. He did CU a couple of times. Jerry is a tremendous broadcaster. We're honored to be able to have Jerry do games for us. He's going to be doing high school state baseball playoffs action this weekend, I believe, too.
So he's forced to work with me again.
Yeah, that's the bummer. But also, he is the new play-by-play voice of high school football and high school men's basketball for us here at KFKA. So he'll be fully joining the team next fall. So we're excited about that.
Yay.
Yeah. All right, coming up, we'll get to what did we learn on today's show. I'm ready to move on. We're still going to be talking about Avs and what everything looks like. But, Michael, they might be having a press conference tomorrow, a day later. So does that mean they want to get out in front of this thing quickly and either move on or let everybody know, hey, we're not doing it, so stop talking about it. We'll be right back.
Stampede is almost here. Yeehaw!
And KFKA has you covered. Here's stories, rodeo coverage, and winsome tickets on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, I'm Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Coloradoan, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
The next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Hey, hey, what do you say? We all had a special day. Now turn to a friend and say what you learned today.
All right, Michael, what did we learn today, my friend? We learned that the Avalanche were not who we thought they were.
Learned that last night.
We learned that last night.
We've actually
learned
game three
for the last week, but it was really hammered home last night in the sweep. What else did you learn today, Michael? That college sports is going to get congressed?
Yeah, Congress is going to look into it, and everybody knows what I think of the institution of government, so I don't think it will be better off for it.
You know,
unless you like pork.
I had a pastor once tell me that, we'll try something new, and if it doesn't work, we'll go back to what wasn't working before. It's not working right now, Michael. So you might as well try something. There are problems with it. There are problems.
They have a habit of making things worse, though.
Well, then you go back. Can you go back?
I think we can never go back.
I don't know.
And, you know, honestly,
this is a big
looking
deal.
Throughout the years, nobody was ever happy.
No, but it's really bad now. And also, it's talking about like getting back to regional play, where conferences are like, so we could have a reconfiguration of all the conferences where we're back to regional play.
Speaking of which, I'm almost done with my...
You're going to let Congress beat you to that.
No, I'm almost done with my realignment.
Yeah, they're going to beat you to that, because it's taken you 9 months, I think, since you started the show. How long? How it feels like a lifetime. How long have we been doing this? All right, we got to go. We got two more minutes, don't we, Mike? You're looking at me like we got to go.
No. Oh,
okay.
We don't.
You were
don't
pressing
have,
buttons
we
back
can
there.
Go.
Well, no, you were just like, freaking out back there. And I was like, wait, what time is it? It's not time yet. But I think when you started the show, you said you had this plan, this bulletproof plan to fix college football. And you're letting Congress beat you to it, Mike. That's a little embarrassing for you, to be honest.
It is embarrassing. I did not focus enough on it. I was stuck on this part, on the realignment.
Stuck on
That's
you.
That's the issue.
Mm-hmm. Well,
the issue is you have to have enough good teams in with enough bad teams.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very good.
The bad teams can't go, hey, well, we played a bunch of bad teams and we're the best of the crap.
Yeah, will the Avalanche be announcing tomorrow that Jared Bednar is no longer the coach? Prediction time. Picks are on Friday, everybody knows that. They going to make that announcement tomorrow?
They will make an announcement on the coach. I'm not sure if they're going to announce that he's going to be fired.
Make a prediction. Jared Bednar, keeping the job? Not keeping the job. I think he's keeping the job. I absolutely think he's keeping the job. All right, we will be back at it. Thursday is going to be a special day here on KFKA with Jerry Schimmel joining the staff. We're going to have a lot of fun. Michael, try not to embarrass me. I know that's a very tall order for you, but see what I mean? This is the exact kind of thing that I'm talking about.
Sorry, we ran out of music.
This is just, you know what? Let's just end it the right way. Play the
Star Trek.
No, not Star Trek. The world's worst, whatever it is, TV show in the history of the world. It's just terrible. We'll be back at it on a Thursday. Good night, Northern Colorado.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.